interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, August 6th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, ready to roll and continuing to talk football on 103.7 The Game. I'm Ben Love. He's Clint Domingue. For the next 2.5 hours, we got you from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Going to talk LSU, going to talk some Cajuns. We'll get after the Saints as well. I know that, Houdat Nation, you're taking a breath today because after all, the Saints have a day off. We got some fresh sound, however, from Sean Payton, Marcus Davenport. We're going to kick that your way. Going to do some Q&A replay with Brandon Taylor momentarily because it was just spectacular yesterday. And right now, well, I'm talking to the 4 o'clock crowd. Maybe you didn't catch him at 6 o'clock, so we'll be here, there, and everywhere. But I will acknowledge, leading off, what's the storyline of the day for LSU's camp. And we got time for you to weigh in as well. 706-0111. Injuries. I'm going to be that guy that tells you it's not a big deal right now. Not just because Ed Orgeron said that this morning, with Jordy Calada, T-Bob Aver off the bench over in Baton Rouge, but because I've also been on this ride a number of times. They start kicking you out of camp when significant players get injured and it's a significant injury. Like clockwork, I remember Les Miles' fall camps were typically done not long after they started. If they began August the 2nd or 3rd, you could count on the fact that by about August the 12th or 13th, if you got 10 days down the road, you were no longer watching basically advanced calisthenics. That's the majority of what you watched, that and the beloved Big Cat, right? So you got to see the whole we are physical, let us prove it thing. But the fact that Grant Delpit, Christian Fulton, Kalyvon Chainsaw, and now more recently Sony Finua, Cardell Thomas, Trey Palmer, they've all been out for at least one practice, most of them, for multiple practices. In fact, Trey Palmer, the stud from Kentwood, he has yet to suit up due to a minor knee injury. And so, yes, when Ed Orgeron goes on local radio in South Louisiana and says, hey, these guys will all be back for game one, it's minor stuff, we're resting them up. And as I reminded you yesterday, sometimes it's even class schedule. I understand. A lot of these guys haven't started necessarily yet, but I went through that for like an entire spring period, I think it was, with Craig Lawson once upon a time. So there are all kinds of reasons that they're going to save guys' legs, that they're going to choose to do things that preserve players. But for me, my mindset is really simple on this, and it applies on this side of the basin to Billy Napier and the Cajuns as well. Keep them out now. In fact, be more precautionary than you probably think you even need to be. This isn't LSU baseball worried about losing some arms for the regular season and the postseason. This is different because a lot of these guys that we're talking about, especially Delpit, Fulton, Chainsaw, those guys are proven. Those guys are starters, and they're pretty important cogs in your defensive machine. Keep them out is what I say this time of year, until they're absolutely ready to go. And it's not just about playing it safe and being precautionary. It's about developing youth. And so out of those names that I just rattled off, what you want to see is Cardell Thomas back and competing on that offensive line. You need to see Sony Finua and what he can do on the defensive line. Is he ready to push? Not necessarily Rashard Lawrence. Not necessarily Braden Fajoco, who's out there looking like a monster from everything I've seen so far this August. You need to see if Sony Finua is ready to maybe crack the two deep for you. In the same way that you want to make sure that Apu Aika is ready to do some some double teaming on that nose tackle spot or the interior of the defensive line, along with Tyler Shelvin. So this is the time of year where all of us are fiending for those pictures, those videos. And Clint, there's one out there that just cracks me up. Our good buddy, Jacques Doucet, WAFB-TV in the capital city. JD's got a video of Joe Burrow and company throwing wheel routes to the fullback. They're really opening up the playbook. Let me help Joe Brady out. He's not going to need a lot from Ben Love, third person drop. He won't need a lot from me, I guarantee that. Probably don't need to worry too much about the wheel route to the fullback.
Exactly. I think that's the last thing you need to worry about, but why not just kind of throw some things out there from time to time?
And that's what they're doing, right? I'm saying this in jest because we know that they're fleshing out the entire route tree, that they're getting everybody alert, attentive, and ready to be a part of the passing game. That part I like. The problem is you wish LSU would have been thinking along those lines when they had, I don't know, J.D. Moore back there, when they had some versatile guys through the years that played those types of positions. Not exactly in this day and age. But I like the fact that they're starting to get some of the other guys involved. That's what this time of year is about. Typically, you go through a minor amount of split squad where you let all the rookies, in which you might consider the JV, guys that aren't going to start but have been around for 2+ years. All those guys get to battle it out in the morning, get their reps, and then it's the starters and the platoon guys in the afternoon. Once they're all together, especially once all the pads are on, I want as many reps as are humanly possible for guys that aren't necessarily 1 or 1A on the depth chart. Why? Because in the next week, 10 days, you'll get enough of that. And then that's not going to stop until bowl season. And so some of these guys, I mean, they're going to be in mothballs until the first week in December, if you're lucky and you play for your conference ship, the second week of December. And so with all these injuries, that's one thing that I'll keep front of mind for you right now for LSU. It's not time to go Chicken Little. It's the opposite. Be okay with the fact that you're saving the legs of somebody like Kalyvah Chaisson, Grant Delpit. You're okay with the fact that some of these young guys, okay, they're getting ramped up on their own speed. You just hope that they're not long-lasting for any of them. But then take some solace in the fact that, yeah, a lot more young guys are starting to get reps that'll be important, in particular in this modern era. We're entering year two where you can now play in this relaxed redshirt environment, and you can play up to 4 games. So I want as many of these young guys as possible to practice now, to get mental and physical reps now, and then to play in that Georgia Southern game. For the Cajuns, it's a little bit different. You're not trying to, you know, have the every kid plays and gets a trophy mentality going into Mississippi State in the Dome week one. That's different. Cajuns right now can't afford to have as many of these guys ramp up, if that makes sense. But on the LSU side, wanted to make sure to at least share my thoughts on that subject. All right, let's get to our guest list today. I've already let one cat out of the bag. Brandon Taylor joined us yesterday. That was for the 6 o'clock group. We're going to have him back on the other side of this break. Not going to make him do it again because perfection can't be duplicated, imitated. So that's what we're thinking. Q&A replay with Brandon Taylor, some of his best sound bites from yesterday, all about the number 18, the fraternity of guys that wear that number, the group text thread that they're all on, that was pretty hilarious, and how he found out he was going to be donning the number 18. Plus, of course, his thoughts on Chaisson, Lloyd Cushenberry, the two that will have it this season. So a Q&A replay with Brandon Taylor on the other side of this break, less than 4 minutes from this moment. At 5:05, it's Tuesday, it's tradition, we will have Shea Dixon, but different than you're used to. He'll be coming off of covering LSU's 5th practice today, so we're going to get a fall camp report from Shea Dixon at 5:05. And then his partner in crime at go247.com, Billy Embody, will be with us at 5:45. Want to keep that one strictly recruiting. LSU basketball added a big. LSU football finally has one in the column for 2021. So I guess we'll just be a go247.com family in the 5 o'clock hour. Shea Dixon, then Billy Embody. Finally, at straight up 6 o'clock, Brent Indes, head coach of a program that's been to the Dome twice in the last 2 years, the Catholic High New Iberia Panthers. Coach Indes will be with us at 6 o'clock. And then it's Rockies at the Stros, 6:35 Astro launch, 7:10 first pitch. Big afternoon heading into a big evening, so stay around. More Bumper to Bumper Sports returning on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Yeah, we say a lot of things. One of our best guests in a while said some great things yesterday. Right now it's time to run some of that back. And we're back. It is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. That guest, Brandon Taylor. Clint, we're going to get to the best of that, but let's do something now that I told you yesterday I was going to hold off on. We wanted to let some of our submissions come in naturally, and they have, but we could still take some more. We've got some room on the bus. You want to be in the Bumper to Bumper Sports Fantasy Football League. This season, you have to be able to attend the live draft. It'll be at Twin Peaks on Johnston, Wednesday, August the 28th. I know I'm doing a show there from 4 to 6. I believe we're going to start the draft at 7 p.m. And so the only way to join this year is to call us up, reserve your space. So call Clint, let him know you're interested. He'll get the particulars. But again, you've got to be able to attend my live draft at Twin Peaks on Johnston, Wednesday, the 28th of August. Call Clint up, let him know. 706-0111. Now to the good stuff from Brandon Taylor. We talked a lot about the fraternity of the number 18. Let's go right to the start of it for Brandon Taylor. He wore that uni for 2011. As he reminded us yesterday, they were pretty good that year. Here's how he found out he'd be having that jersey number.
It's like we've all been knowing each other forever, and half of us have never even played with each other, but it's like it's crazy because it's like everybody in that group is meant to be in that group. And Jack Maluch is in the group, and he sees a side of us that he's never seen while we were playing football. He's like, y'all dudes are really out of control. Y'all are big kids. They're like, yeah, Jack, we've been like this. You've seen us serious all the time because we were so focused on football and trying to be the best. But now we're loose, and we just get to be ourselves.
Throwing me off the scent a little bit there, CD. That is actually on the fraternity of the number 18. So that's all the guys that are in a group text. Jack Marucci just trying his best to keep up with those guys. See if we can't find the soundbite, how he found out he would be wearing the number 18. Okay, I'm getting the hold on a second finger there. Okay, I think that's the finger I'm getting. But nonetheless, it started with Jack Marucci. I do remember that from yesterday's storyline. We'll see if we can't get that to you here momentarily. Brandon Taylor, of course, from Franklinton High School. One of my favorite interviews. I told you that yesterday. Along with Kelvin Shepard during my time covering the beat. Now we've got it. Here's how he got the news.
Actually, it was one day I was in a training room because I was coming off of an injury my junior year, which I had tore my Liz Frank playing against Alabama my junior year. So I was going into my senior year, that whole off season, that summer I was rehabbing. And Jack Marucci had called me in his office, and he asked me what I wear to number 18. And he had Matt Mark on the phone, and he talked to me about it and told me that he didn't think of anybody else that would be more responsible enough to wear it that year. So I accepted it, and we had a great season in 2011.
Yeah, that's the part where you're reminded about that. LSU, of course, 12-0 regular season. Beat Georgia badly. A couple of Tyrann Mathieu punt returns. One where he didn't even really bother crossing the finish line and just kind of tossed the football. Didn't matter. Atlanta. And so a couple of sound bites there from Brandon Taylor, but we got a few more to go. This one on the current number 18s. One on offense and Kalevon Chaisson, or Cushenberry, excuse me, and then Kalevon Chaisson on defense. Their selection, how he feels about it.
Oh, that's what's the most thing I'm most excited about, Lloyd Cushenberry, because he's the first offensive lineman. Being that I was the first defensive player to wear 18 when I received the number, man, those two guys is you just hear nothing but praise from the teammates to the coaches, the people around campus, to the women that work upstairs, the recruiting girls, Miss Shan. that whole staff. Like, there's so much upside with those guys, and every time you see them, they got a smile on their face. Like, who doesn't want to lead them like that? I know sometimes you got to be serious, but at some points you got to be the person that uplifts your teammates in hard situations. And those guys, they're just perfect matches for the number.
Let's go to the defensive side of the football. Brandon Taylor on how he got to know Corey Raymond. Some of this backstory I didn't even know before yesterday.
A lot of knowledge. Corey Raymond played in league and was great at what he did. Actually, Corey Raymond, my freshman year, when me and Patrick Peterson, Ron and Brooks came in to LSU, Corey Raymond was the GA coach, and I was playing cornerback. So he was coaching me at corner. So he was the cornerback's coach. And being with him at that time, like, we still keep in touch. He still reminded me, BT, you remember you played corner and I was coaching you? I was like, yes, sir, I do. Man, I wish you would stay at cornerback. Like, nah, safety was the best move for me. But I've known Raymond for – I've been knowing Raymond since I was in probably a sophomore in high school. So I just know what he can bring to the table and what he can get out of those guys. And the thing is, Raymond's going to put them guys in a position to succeed. So as a player, if you make a mistake on the field, you can't do nothing but point the finger at yourself. And that's the type of coach that you want, because – if I make a mistake, it's my fault. I can't say nothing about my coach. He put me in the right position. And when you have a coach like that, you can't do nothing but succeed.
And so, of course, Corey Raymond really getting to concentrate on those cornerbacks with Bill Bush back there handling Grant Delpit and the safeties. Speaking of the safeties, I asked Brandon Taylor, since he brought up, you just heard, Ron Brooks, I threw in Tyrann Mathieu. At a time, those two in John Chavis's Mustang package, as lethal maybe as any secondary members we've seen kind of coming in as bandits off the corner and blitzing the quarterback, maybe as good as we've seen in LSU uniforms doing that. I asked if those guys compared to Jacoby Stevens, knowing that the body types are different. Stevens is bigger, but Taylor's answer surprised me a little bit. Again, here's the versatility that Taylor sees in Jacoby Stevens.
I think Jacoby brings a lot more to the table than we all could, because Jacoby can play outside linebacker and he can rush on the edge as a stand-up outside linebacker. We could dream about doing that, but we couldn't do that, which we had some of the best to do it with Sam Montgomery and Barkevious Mingo, but he just brings a different element, and teams going to have to scheme on him because they're going to have to know where he's at, because he's going to be a problem for any offensive scheme, any offensive coordinator when he's on the field. So that's a great advantage for LSU defense, because you can plug him into anywhere and he's going to know the playbook. He's not going to make mistakes. He's going to make big plays. And you've seen it time and time again, like, keep him on the field, move him around, confuse the defense, confuse the quarterback, because they're going to be focused and keyed in on him.
And for my money, Stevens got so much better as the year progressed and he got comfortable in the fact that they were comfortable with him. And it's a lot like Brandon Taylor just said. Get him out there. Move him around. The guy's a playmaker. And it's crazy. I mean, to think he was, what, the same class as Delpit, higher rated coming out of the state of Tennessee at the safety position. LSU moved him over to receiver because they needed some bodies. They were set at safety. Now he's back, but not quite playing safety in a traditional sense. But they've certainly found a role for him in that quarter position that Dave Aranda always talks about. All right, one more from Brandon Taylor, and it got really entertaining for me toward the end of that interview. He was doing it while on business in Houston. Sounded like he was basically pacing some poor hotel room and beating the tread off of his shoes there. He said he's just fired up about the potential of this LSU team.
I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, what about us? And that just makes them that much more better. And it's going to be crazy to see. I'm too excited right now. I can't even sit down and talk to you. I'm moving around, walking around my room. Like, I'm fired up because just the potential, man. We just got – something has to break through this season. Something just has to.
And really, it was fun to catch up with him. I enjoyed interviewing back in the day when he was playing at LSU. We got a lot of good feedback from people that were tuned in at the 6 o'clock hour. So we wanted to make sure to run that back, and everybody got the same degree of excitement. So if you're listening right now and not driving, you can go and do some of your own pacing a la Brandon Taylor and cut a rug up wherever the heck that you are. I'll say this. We have wondered since 2011 when LSU would have a secondary again that kind of resembles that one. you might be waiting a while. And I always talk about being a prisoner of the moment and thinking that what's really good, if not great now, is as good as it's ever been. Boy, I don't know. When you look around and it's Mo Claiborne, you look around and it's Tyrann Mathieu, Ron Brooks, Eric Reed, Brandon Taylor, it might not quite be that good again for a while. Not to say that certain individuals haven't been close to living up to that standard. I think that, I mean, obviously, Grant Delpit is in that mold. I think that Jamal Adams was there. Tre'Davious White was phenomenal in his run. But that collective of talent, never forget, a group that lost Patrick Peterson and got better as a unit in 2011, absolutely incredible what they were able to do. And Brandon Taylor put them through their paces and lined everyone up at safety. Got to imagine Grant Delpit will be that guy this year. I think you could sense some of the excitement there from a former number 18. All right, we're halfway through our number one. When we return, going to move it over to the NFL. We talked some already this July and August about teams that are going to be better than a year ago. How about teams that take a step back going to the NFL next? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming right back around on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I thought the defense did pretty well in the two-minute drill at the end. I thought the practice coming off of I thought last night was one of our better practices, and I felt like they followed up today with another good practice on both sides of the ball. So, there'll be a little time now where they're off. We're kind of into our Tuesday off day and kind of go from there.
As we return, little Sean Payton there. That was sound late yesterday about the Saints' Monday practice. Going to talk about the Saints and the NFL, teams that were high flyers in 2018. Can they do it again? Maybe even improve upon things in 2019? Or are they regression candidates? That's what we're looking at now. Bumper to Bumper Sports back with you on 103.7 The Game. And I'm going to give some credit here. This idea started to matriculate when I saw a story from Bill Barnwell at the Mothership. He listed five teams that are most likely to decline this season. He backed it up with a lot of analytics. He looked at games that were won by 7 points or fewer last season and how replicable is that. And I'm a little meh when it comes to that part. Because in the NFL, I mean, come on now, so many games are played within single-digit margins. And there's a fact that's thrown out because, yeah, the Saints do appear in this article. Five regression candidates, basically. Hard to go 13-3 back-to-back years. But he points out that in the Breeze-Peyton era, Saints are something like 40-37, might even be just this decade, in games that are played within a touchdown. Well, I'm not sure how much of an indicator that is. How much are we going to put a team that looked completely different 5 years ago and hold them up to the same light as this team? I don't really like that, but it did get me thinking. And that is when we always play the music and I ask the question.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day: which NFL team is most likely to decline from last season? For what it's worth, here are the five that Barnwell submitted. He gave the Rams and the Saints, both of which were 13-3 last season. He gave the Dallas Cowboys, they were 10-6 last year, all three of those playoff teams in the NFC. He gave the Los Angeles Chargers in the AFC, 12-4 a year ago, a wild card team, and another wild card squad, the Miami Dolphins at 7. I'm sorry, they didn't make the playoffs, but Miami was 7-9 last year, and Barnwell is sniffing out regression from that point. So whether you're picking from that group of five or you've got somebody else in mind, call us up, let us know. 706-0111. Clint, lead us off. The team most likely to decline.
I think the team that's most likely to decline in my mind is going to be, without a doubt, the Miami Dolphins. I mean, 7-9, I think they're going to keep dipping down. Mind you, they'll still wind up beating the Patriots somehow, some way in Miami. It feels like this is becoming a tradition where that's the one game you're guaranteed they're going to wind up winning. But it just feels like, to me, Miami is going to be a team that's going to be on a very steep decline. When it comes to the Saints, I agree. It's like 13-3 doing that back-to-back years would be very tough. But I feel like what he's saying is it's more of a steeper decline. They'll go down a couple wins, but not necessarily as far as, say, Bill Barnwell or Colin Cowherd has said in the past of this team is going to come crashing down. It's not going to happen. I think the Miami Dolphins are the team that's going to have the steepest decline from 7-9, let's say 4-12.
All right, so Clint's in the clubhouse with the Dolphins. We'll get your takes, and while we're waiting, I'll give you mine because I got two that aren't on this list. I've already told you I think Kansas City's taking a step back as a team. Not telling you that the reigning MVP, Pat Mahomes, individually will. It'd be hard to do 50 touchdowns again. But again, that cat can do 80% of what he did last season and still be one of the top two or three players in the league. But as a team, I don't see Kansas City maintaining where they were a year ago. And part of it is defense for me. They weren't very good on that side last year. And you're going to say, Ben, they added Tyrann Mathieu. That's great. They lost Dee Ford and Justin Houston. I'm not picking Kansas City to be the type of team that can get to the Super Bowl, maybe not even the AFC title game. I think Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to take a step back this year. So that would be my biggest answer to the question. But you know me, I got even another for you that isn't on this Bill Barnwell list. Baltimore, at 10-6 last year, they edged out Pittsburgh. They won the AFC North. I just don't want any part of the quarterback that I saw in the playoffs last year. You're going to tell me that's unfair to Lamar Jackson? He was good during the regular season. Fine, I hear you. He was abominable. I mean, terrible in that playoff game that Baltimore was in. So for me, I have a hard time seeing Baltimore do as well as they did a year ago. So again, another thing that you might throw into the mix there. Hey, they're in the same division now as everybody's darling, the Cleveland Browns. So I just think there might be a new sheriff in town potentially as well. So give me Kansas City and Baltimore to take a step back. If you force me to take a team from Bill Barnwell's five, I'd probably say Dallas. And Zeke Elliott is threatening to pull a Le'Veon Bell. Might also be known as a Melvin Gordon. And that's part of the reason that two of these five teams that Bill Barnwell's shoving down your throat here, I mean, they don't have their star running back in tow right now. But I do agree with one thing. Both the Saints and the Rams were 13-3 last year. Almost certainly one of those two will win 11 or fewer games this year. It's the NFL. It's the way it goes. Injuries happen. Freakish accidents happen. You lose games that are unexpected. I think that the Rams and Saints are both bona fide playoff teams. Do they win 13 each? I'd probably bet against it. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, thanks for waiting. Who you picking?
I'm going to go I agree with CD on Miami. I think that's too easy of a choice. I'm going to say Dallas. I think the NFL is going to adjust to the ding and dug, ground and pound Dallas Cowboys. And I wouldn't put the Saints in that category because they upgraded in the tight end position and they just made themselves more formidable than they already are. So Dallas, for me, they're going to load the box and they're going to put out some packages to kind of confuse Dak Prescott a little more and load the box and take their chances.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dallas is a team that wins at least seven games. But again, if you don't win at least 10, you're not really guaranteed anything as far as the playoffs. Thanks for the call, Keith.
You got it.
We'll take some more. 706-0111. Which NFL team is most likely to decline from last season? I'd say this, when it comes to the Rams and the Saints, and we had a conversation yesterday in which I discussed the Falcons being, I do think, one of the best teams in the NFC this year. I think they bounce back a good bit. But the Rams and the Saints, how do they compare against one another? I would take the Rams' defense. Most of us probably would, but the gap has closed. Saints get back a healthy Patrick Robinson this year. They've done some things along the defensive line to, I guess you would say, kind of maybe plug in Malcolm Brown and some guys as a stopgap. until Sheldon Rankins gets back, and then maybe they can take off a little further. You hope Marcus Davenport progresses. And in a moment, we're going to hear Sean Payton and company talk a little on Marcus Davenport. But I would take the Rams defense over the Saints. I would take Breeze over Goff, and it's not even really a close conversation. Gurley over Kamara by a little, but maybe the Saints collective running back group, because I also get to throw Taysom Hill in there. I know he doesn't necessarily play that position, but Taysom Hill, I think, has the chance to be, I almost hate to put a number on it, but I don't know. Would you say maybe 400, 450, possibly a 500-yard rusher for the franchise this season, playing the position he is? So I think they find more ways to integrate him and kind of save Breeze for the stretch run. So, yeah, the Rams, the Saints probably deserve to be the two best going into the season in the NFC. One might take a step back, but only in games one in the regular season. Never know what happens if either of those two gets hot in the playoffs. But I like the submission so far. Keith is leaning on Dallas. CD's got Miami. And I'm giving you two from off the menu. Give me KC and Baltimore. We're going to ride out with those into the break. We can keep taking your calls on the other side. We've also got some Saints sound to kick your way. And don't forget Shea Dixon in about 22 minutes with an LSU fall camp report live from the Ponderosa. That's how we're going to do it on a Tuesday. Bumper to Bumper Sports, set to come right back on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Still in the NFL portion of our opening hour. You are dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. CD, before we get back into taking calls, get some Saints sound out there from training camp down in Metairie. A couple more submissions to the B2BS Fantasy League. So I guess if you ask them, they will come. Currently, that league up to four members now?
Correct, Amundo. We're currently at four members. I mean, of course, excluding you. So, yeah. Well,
that's true.
Yeah,
I guess I should be in the league. So,
yeah.
There's at least seven spots left in a 12-man league.
Yes.
And, yeah, we're going to do this thing right. Of course, we're going to play PPR, right? We may even get some weirdities and oddities in there in terms of the scoring. I've been in a league for, I don't even know now, 6 years where this guy's been giving out 3 points per tight end catch, and so it's the dumbest thing in the world to have to draft that way. We won't do that, but we'll find a way to make it work the way we want, and we'll have some fun in the draft Wednesday, August the 28th. Keep calling in. We'll get you into the league. No fee. Only stipulation, you got to be able to draft with us at Twin Peaks on Wednesday the 28th of this month. 706-0111 if you want to get in the league. Also, if you want to call and answer our sink or swim question of the day, which NFL team is most likely to decline from last season? I put my cards on the table, and I've kind of gone in both directions so far on this one. I'm giving you Kansas City and Baltimore taking a step, maybe two back. I told you, feels like 2 weeks ago, I think that Jacksonville and the 49ers take a step forward. I believe that Jacksonville may take a lot of steps back forward. Maybe like to where they were 2 years ago, where they were knocking on the door of the Super Bowl, and we'll see if the Patriots give them the business in the end of the AFC title game again this year. So that's what I'm thinking. Let us know what you've got in mind. All right, while we wait on that, you've already heard in this hour, Sean Payton described yesterday's practice. Of course, the Saints off today. I remember exactly this this circumstance myself, but I'm interested to hear Payton kind of recap it. He was asked about claiming Taysom Hill off of waiver wires. This is pretty good stuff.
So the claim takes place, and he comes in. We know we have a real good athlete. We're excited about it. We were worried that, you know, he might not get to 11. We were 11th in the claiming order. And the first weekend he gets to play significantly in special teams, we were at our inactive list. And generally there's a handful of injured guys in that list. They're naturally going to be inactive. And we were at eight with four injured players and then four guys available, and we just discussed each of the four players. And I said to Mike Westhoff, what about Hill? You know, and Mike was one of those guys, I'll take him. And he came out, and that was his first exposure to the kicking game and special teams, and he played very well in that game. You know, he wasn't playing that role that we use offensively as much, but we knew we had a real good athlete that loved football, and so it kind of was born out of one extra spot because of injury.
That's crazy. I mean, truly, to consider the trickle-down effect from there, and now the Saints could very easily find themselves in a position where 2020, possibly 2021, they're rocking Teddy Bridgewater as their starter, and Taysom Hill is kind of that wild card backup. Don't know if that's the best way to handle it. I think Saints fans may be a little uneasy knowing that that's the combination of the future, and maybe it's not, but it's interesting that that's kind of the seed that was planted that got Taysom Hill in this position. All right, we'll get to some more from Sean Payton as Clint just took another entry into the fantasy league. So, again, you might want to snap those spots up if you want them, and you may want to call and talk a little Saints, answer our sink or swim question. The number to play, 706-0111. Here Sean Payton describes watching old film to see how to fully utilize new tight end Jared Cook.
Man, I saw real good film when he was in St. Louis. I saw a real good film last year. And so anytime you're in free agency, you gather as much information as you can. And then when the player arrives, there's certain things you weren't aware of that are good. Maybe sometimes weren't so good. In his case, it was all positive. He's a tremendous worker, dedicated, you know. I think someone who's you know, a true pro in every sense of the word. And I think that he's been a real good addition for us.
Between some of those St. Louis Rams teams, some of the Oakland Raiders teams, Jared Cook has been on some bad teams where they maybe have had to rely on him. I'm interested to see how he kind of carries his weight being on what should be an elite team. But you got to like that, Sean Payton, going back to watch how he's been used in years past. Let's get at least one more from the head honcho of your New Orleans Saints coming up on the first preseason game this Friday night, Saints hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Here's Peyton's philosophy on each preseason game.
There's a philosophy with all of them. You know, how we're playing guys can vary in each game. Tomorrow we'll meet as a staff and we'll go through the roles relative to Minnesota. Like the play count we expect, and we'll discuss every player that's dressed in the game. How many plays we'd like to see them play in the kicking game, both offensively and defensively. And then the key is then communicating that so we have an organized game. And, you know, we're not stuck with 10 guys on the field. It's a little bit harder in the kicking game sometimes. But from that standpoint, I would say week by week there might be some differences. I think from a competitive standpoint and trying to win – and trying to put your best foot forward, that would be consistent in each week.
Sounds like somebody's just absolutely crushing the jugs machine behind Sean Payton there. I wanted to segue from that quickly before the end of this hour. Got some clips from Marcus Davenport as well, the former UTSA Roadrunner entering year two as a Saint. You got to love this. He says Cam Jordan is that coach that you just can't turn off.
Cam is like that coach that you can't really turn off. But, you know, I say that lovingly because, you know, he's always there. You know, he's always trying to help me. And that's someone that, you know, when I have an idea and I can't get to my coach, I spitball it off of him.
Of course, Jordan's still ever present. Alex Okafor no longer with the franchise. But here's what Davenport learned from Okafor in his rookie season.
What I got from Alex the most was knowledge. You know, he was always in his film study and his playbook. You know, he knew the calls, he knew what to be prepared for, and he definitely helped me with that. You know, he taught me different, like, little tricks on film, and, you know, it translated.
CeeDee, what's the over-under on sacks? Where should I set that? This is the kind of game I play for LSU on Fridays, but this is just way out here on a limb in early August. They play 16 regular season games. Can he give them 8 sacks? Should the over-under be 7.5? Should the over-under be set higher than that? I know Saints fans will want it higher than that.
Yeah.
But if he gives you a sack every other game, is that what you're going to need from him this year?
I think that's pretty much what you're going to need from him. I'd probably set the over-under 8.5, 9. I'd probably set it somewhere around that range. Because I feel like he can wind up hitting a little bit above that bar. So because, like, you don't know what you're going to wind up getting. Because, in fact, this is the second year where you'll have a solid second guy to complement Cam Jordan. It's been tough for some of these offensive lines to handle that kind of pressure.
He had 4.5 sacks last year as a rookie, and that's
but he was partially injury-plagued
as well. So 4.5 last year. I think the over-under number would have to be set at either 7.5 or 8.5. I feel like that's fair. If he approaches double-digit sacks, they're going to be hellacious this year. I mean, a lot to deal with. So good to hear from Marcus Davenport. Heading into the off day, that was yesterday. Saints wrapped up, I believe, their 10th practice of training camp. All right, we're about to wrap up hour number one. As always, we'll do it with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Incredible, and what an incredible stretch it has been for one of the Acadiana area's own. Of course, we know all about Jake Delhomme and the Hall call. You're going to hear a little bit in hour number two. Now, Robert Hunt, offensive lineman for the Cajuns, really had a great time with Jake Delhomme recently visiting the team. And so just incredible what he continues to mean basically everywhere he goes, right? The Terlings Catholic Rebels, Raging Cajun football, the Carolina Panthers, the NFL at large, pretty cool stuff and a continued fun summer for Jake the Snake. Incredible is the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We'll be right back. An LSU camp update. Shea Dixon at 5:05. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back in on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 3 underway. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. Little Bumper to Bumper Sports taking you home, and shortly a live LSU football camp update on 103.7 The Game. We've discussed a good bit of LSU football so far. The Saints, we know, off today after what was their 10th training camp practice yesterday. They'll have the Minnesota Vikings Friday, first preseason game, and you'll hear plenty from the Raging Cajuns, including some sound bites from senior DB Tariq Miller and then veteran offensive lineman Robert Hunt. That's coming your way later in this hour, as is an interview with Billy Embody. Go to 247.com at 5:45. Yeah, we're sharing the love to that awesome website today because, you know, in a hot second, we'll have Shea Dixon aboard to get you that LSU camp update. But with Billy, I do want to get to an LSU basketball commitment. Deshaun Thomas, a JUCO big, is going to complete Will Wade's 2019/2020 roster. But all that's coming your way later in this hour. Right now, let's go find him aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Hey, you don't have to bring him out. We'll just bring him in. It is Shea Dixon. Shea, how the heck are you?
How are you?
Hey, life is good here. Did you sweat your butt off at the Ponderosa for about 25 minutes?
It wasn't. Well, no, we got less than that today, which I didn't complain about. But in terms of the media viewing portion, but it was overcast a bit. So yesterday was brutal out there. Today, not as bad.
Everybody making a lot out of the injuries. I know Ed Ogeron was on in Baton Rouge local radio this morning. He said, look, it's pretty minor stuff. All our guys will be back for game one. I guess your reaction to where they are, and if there is maybe a concerning player, who would it be?
Yeah, here we are. These guys are out there for 3 hours now in full pads and hitting, and guys getting nicked up. And I walked out there for 15 minutes. I was like, Ben, oh, it was brutal out there. Brutal, man. I would say me, probably then, no. Look, Chaisson, Delpit, and Fulton jump out at you, right? I mean, they're starters on defense. They're very key pieces to this. And Orgeron kind of had said this morning, obviously on off the bench in Baton Rouge on radio, that it was minor, it was nothing long term. We'll meet with him again tonight. I'm sure he'll say much of the same, but there hasn't really been any buzz around town, moving through the ranks about anyone being seriously injured. My guess is that they're just taking it easy with these three because I would put them up there with some of the most valuable guys on the team. You don't want to risk anything, especially when pads are now going on. Chaisson even came out on social media and said, look, it has nothing to do with my knee, which he tore up the ACL last year. So I don't think it's anything to worry on at this point. And if there was one that emerges as sort of one to watch, we'll certainly pass that on. But at this point, I'm not sure any of the three are going to be anything, super long term.
Talking shop on LSU football with Shea Dixon. Go to 247.com. And Shea was just out at LSU practice today. I kind of circled Trey Palmer, and only because you and I and a lot of people thought that the youngster out of Kentwood maybe had a chance to come in and play a lot in this Joe Brady offense, or at least have a chance to get on the field. The fact that he's dealing with a minor knee injury, think that's something that could set back and stunt his progress?
You know, it could, just because he's not out there for the first what could be, couple of weeks, and that puts him a little behind. But to be honest, Ben, I think he – and I know fall camp's so different, right? But I think he was ahead of the other guys in terms of freshmen. And if you want to pick out this group of freshmen, he was kind of one of the guys running in front of the pack in terms of making a big impact this summer, having, a chance to, go into fall camp and the season – getting playing time. And look, we'll see how much they're using every receiver. I mean, the receivers have come out and said, look, everybody in this offense is going to get a chance. All the receivers are going to be rotating in and out. But while I do love Palmer a lot, I still think he'll have a chance to play. I just think that the question becomes, if when he gets his chances, how big of a playmaker is he? Because look, we even saw Derek Dillon turn in some huge moments last year, but it wasn't like he was getting, even a few touches a game or targets a game. So with so many older good receivers, I think it'll take a special move up the depth chart for Palmer to sort of make a big splash, over the next couple months.
Say, let's stick with freshmen and let's stick with offensive skill players. There's a pretty sick video making the rounds on Twitter of John Emery with a touchdown run in practice. I guess your thoughts early on what he may be able to contribute right off the bat.
Man, I wish we knew how he and Ty Davis were soaking up the playbook and sort of how they look through an extended practice. And I think maybe, look, these next 3 weeks and these scrimmages will tell us, when they go live and now being in pads, what these guys can do. And I think that Emery and really let me put him out there as well, Ty Davis Price, I think that both those guys, Emery was the number one running back in the country on 24/7 Sports. Davis Price was the number six. So you're talking about kids who are expected to be talented enough to play early. And I know they've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire as sort of the experienced and certainly talented guy in the room. But I think that Chris Curry and Leonard Fournette are looking behind them because without a Leonard Fournette or, Darius Guy, someone who's coming back onto the team and going to take 100-and-something touches, no doubt. I don't think LSU has that right now, and that's not a knock on Edwards-Helaire. I think that they want to see these two freshmen move up, and like you said, that run by Emery, even if it's thud, they weren't, not in full contact and not tackling. But, boy, you can see his elusiveness, and he looks just like he did in high school. And as I said, there was a reason he finished ranked as the best running back in the country. And with that, yes, I do think it carries expectations that he doesn't have to be the starter, but that you can give him, a handful, if not more, touches in every single game.
One of the things, as we continue now with Shea Dixon on 103.7 The Game, one of the things, Shea, that Ed also said on Baton Rouge Radio this morning, he thinks the offensive line might be the most improved position grouping on the team. I guess I'll get your observations, what you've seen so far, and what they're building with that group.
Well, I think that one thing that typically happens, right, is if you're bringing back a lot of your line, they don't usually tend, they don't get worse. And they said that these guys had a good summer. So when you couple, you know, the reality that, look, a handful of these starters might have had, he mentions Austin Deculus, Sadiq Charles. We know Lloyd Cushenberry is a real deal, Damian Lewis. He mentions these guys have really good summers, and you know they played, and you know they've started, and, you know, so they're not walking into foreign territory. I think they are going to be more improved, and we'll see how they pick up on an offense that's going to move a little more up-tempo, but also, you know, that could give them, as I said before, a chance to they're not having to sit there and protect the quarterback for five, six, however long it might be. They're going quick. Their routes are quick routes. They're kind of moving in and out and not sitting Burrow back there all day. So I think for a number of reasons, the offensive line probably does look better than it did a year ago. And for me, really the only big thing I'm watching is the left guard spot. And I think that's the one that's truly up for grabs. Adrian McGee's been seeing time at it. Chasen Hines has been seeing some time there. I know in the fall spring with an injury, but my prediction or my guess is that once Hines is fully healthy, he'll be the starter. McGee will be a bit of a guard swing man. Treyer can kind of be a tackle swing man. We know guys get banged up, but I think their starting five, when you look at it, is pretty similar to a year ago. We saw Brumfield get hurt, Hines go in. We've seen McGee play. And, you know, they're older, and they're being talked up as being a little bit better. So I'm buying in. I think that certainly compared to a year ago, I think they'll be much more improved.
My guy, you know that this time of year, it's always fun to identify what I've always called, or at least, you know, since like 2011 or 12, the Danielle Hunter Award winners. These are the guys that you just haven't really seen because you're not Tommy Moffitt, and you say, holy hell, is he massive now? Or is he even more massive? Have you identified one such or several such candidates?
Well, there's some returning champs there, right? I mean, the Ray Thorntons of the world have been holding down that title for a bit. There's some first kid off the bus type guys. I'll say Chris Curry showed up looking bigger, the running back out of Florida. Clearly his first year in the strength program was good to him. I'll jump around the offense. Obviously Brandon's put on some weight, but he's still not your first guy off the bus. You want some muscled up, jacked up dudes. I'll tell you what, well, we've said this a million times, Derek Stingley, maybe one of the better looking physical, you know, physique players on the entire roster. And he turned 18 probably, you know, what, a month ago or something. He was young for his age. So he is absolutely the real deal. And Jarrell Cherry, I'll give you a guy that nobody's really talking about, was a freshman last year, took a red shirt. He came in from high school. I think he was in the 220s. He was probably 225 pounds. Listed now on the roster in the 260s. He looks maybe even bigger than that, but he looks to be in great shape. And his high school film is a four-star defensive. He was an outside linebacker in high school, but also playing some D-end was nasty. He could get after the quarterback. And some players have kind of talked him up. I know he's still young, but when people see Jarrell Cherry out there, I think they're going to say, oh, man, damn, who is that kid? And as he gets some more time in the program, like I said, he's only a redshirt freshman. This is a kid who I think makes the move from outside linebacker now being a D-end. And could be someone we're talking, you know, about over these next few years.
Another thing that fans always love to monitor this time of year, the next guys up at quarterback, right? And we've seen, obviously, Burrow, Brennan. How about some of the other guys that you're seeing for the first time in the purple and gold and I guess what they look like today?
Well, yeah, I think people are certainly having an eye on Peter Parrish, a kid who came out of Alabama and won a state title against Taulia Tagovailoa. A 7A state title at that, was on a central team that was just awesome. And he sort of helped lead the way there. And now, look, they can do more with Burrow right now because they've got Brennan healthy, which he wasn't last year. And if Burrow gets hurt and Brennan's not your only guy, you've also got Parrish. So I think people were excited to see him show up. But I'll give you a big picture one. And I know we already talked about the running backs. We've talked about Trey Palmer. I think Marcel Brooks is a kid who – he's wearing the old Grant Delpit jersey. He plays very similar to Grant Delpit. He's more maybe – he's a little bigger, so he could be more of that outside linebacker mold, but they use Delpit in a variety of ways. And we've talked about him on your show before, Ben, but this kid was seeing snaps playing in Texas against good competition at quarterback, wide receiver, linebacker, DB, safety, anything you can imagine. He was playing it and playing it at a high level. He finished as a five-star with us on 24/7 Sports. And there's rumblings around there, you know, from some people that say, hey, look, by the end of this month, he's probably going to have caught on to what we want. You know, we'll ask some small things out of him early on, but we think he can excel at it. So I think when I look at the kind of next guy to step up, and people love the DBs, and certainly a guy who could play linebacker, I'm circling Marcel Brooks, a kid who can do it right out of the gate.
And you know, Shay, that I'm a huge fan. If I were to submit that he's a slightly faster and more physical version of Jacoby Stevens, that could play that type of role, would you agree?
Yes, so that would have been a better comparison. So he's your Jacoby Stevens type. And Jacoby Stevens, look, he was the number one athlete in the country coming out of high school, five-star. Brooks is verified testing is more athletic and not as big as, you know, as Jacoby is right now, but you'd have to think, give him a couple years to catch up and he'll be there. So I do. I like it as a Jacoby Stevens, but with some extra juice, which is no knock on Stevens. Marcel Brooks is just really good.
The best, man. You come in, you give us the recruiting, we flip the script on the reg today. Well, we flip it over from flipping the script. You give us a camp update. This was a treat. Thanks for doing it, Shay.
To double flip that script, I love it. We'll try it again.
Yeah, it'll be a tongue twister every time out of the box. Shay Dixon, go247.com. I'm going to share a little love with his brother-in-arms, Billy Embody, at 5:45. Nobody told a brother that Uncle Jordy was going to have him on earlier. That's okay. We're going to go down the road discussing DeSean Thomas, what that means to the LSU basketball program, and I don't know if this has been mentioned, CD, on the program or on any of our programs. Billy Embody was at a recent Raging Cajuns football press conference.
Yes.
My man wanted to ask some crouton questions of Billy Napier, so we're going to talk some Cajuns crouton as well with Billy Embody at 5:45. But on the other side of this break, speaking of those Raging Cajuns, going to let you hear from an offensive and defensive player next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Look at you, CD. Dusting off one of my favorites. You could let that ride a little louder, a little longer, for all I care. I don't know where you hid that, but we should be playing that like at least once a week and not probably sometime in Jordy Holtberg's show.
Exactly. For what it's worth, this has never been in the Jordy Holtberg show. I've had it in the Under the Dome archives for a little bit as well.
Ego tripping. Just didn't Part expect two. That. Didn't expect that, but glad that it happened. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back with you. Hopefully you expected us on 103.7 The Game. We'll be expecting your phone call any moment now. 706-0111. You can react to any and everything Shay Dixon had to say. Maybe even snatch up one of those now few remaining spots in the B2BS Fantasy Football League. The only real rule, we don't need any money from you. We just need you to be able to come join us live at the draft Wednesday, August the 28th. And you can basically ask anyone who was in it last year. We didn't have a good time at the draft party. We had a very good time, a large time, in fact. So you want to be a part of that, we got some time for you to call in. 706-0111. I do want to get to that Raging Cajun sound, but quickly, I'll update our sink or swim question of the day. Which NFL team is most likely to decline from last season? Getting a lot of run on this on Facebook so far. And people, of course, it's sports. Everyone loves to hate more than they like to show love. I get that. With that in mind, Sean P. says, Cowgirls. Yeah, a lot of people thinking the Cowboys are coming back down to earth in their 10-6 season, winning the NFC East a year ago. Sean is with them. Kit H says Green Bay or Miami. Pack wasn't in a juggernaut in 2018, but I'm with him. You just look at that team and they're losing all of their weapons just so much over the last couple of years. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, he might not be able to relax. He's going to have a lot of shoulder, a lot of weight to shoulder this year, I should say. All right, Jamie G on Facebook, the Texans. I don't see them in the playoffs. I think they'll miss by a game or two. And then Russ R. agrees with me, Kansas City. Pretty good submissions. All right, CD, we promised the people that we would get to some Raging Cajun sound. This is from yesterday. Cajuns started up like LSU on Friday. And so that would mean yesterday, I believe, was practice four for Billy Napier and company. Let's start with offensive lineman Robert Hunt. I teased this earlier. Robert gave some sound about Jake DeLome coming to visit the team. Let's give you that.
I tell you a lot. I always love when Jake come back and talk to us. Mr. DeLome, I'm so sorry. Mr. DeLome come back and talk to us. He talks a lot, man, just like to, you know, sit and wait. Say, like, if I'm not starting or not, you know, like, wait while you work. That was the message that always been with me. You know, I haven't really been on that end, but I know that that means a lot to different people. So, like, just wait while you work.
That was genuinely awesome. Clint, I hadn't heard it. I got to be honest. And I like to picture Billy Napier standing in the back of the room behind the media, and then he called him Jake. And Billy Napier gives him basically this look like your mom used to, like, I will pull this van over. You know what I mean? Like, you will call him Mr. DeLome in front of people.
That's basically how it went, and it was absolutely amazing just seeing that. And you just see the second he's like, Mr. DeLome, I'm sorry. It's like, you can just tell, like, everybody's just kind of laughing. And it was a good time. It had by all when he did that.
I will pull the Vista Cruiser right over.
Back to Winnipeg.
All right, let's keep it rolling a little bit. We've been discussing Cole Prudhomme out. Good chance it's going to be for the season. Robert Hunt goes a little deeper on that, but says there's a plan B.
We didn't ever think it would be a setback because, you know, we got guys, 8 or 9 guys in the room that can play, you know. So if somebody's got to step up, you know, we'll definitely miss Cole. Cole is like the glue to that group, you know. He's the center of it all. But with Shane Vallow and all the other guys competing for that spot, I think we'll be fine, man.
We'll go to the defensive side of the football. Ron Roberts looking to improve upon things in year two in Cajun country. Here, one of his senior DBs, Tariq Miller, gave some sound. More depth this year, and that could do nothing, according to Miller, but help.
Oh, it's going to help a lot. Like, towards the end, a lot of guys get banged up, and the more guys you have to play, like Coach Nate said, game-winning football, it's the more successful you'll be.
Let's get some more, and this is important. If you listened yesterday, in this exact time slot, Ruffin Roderick told you how the culture that you plant seeds for in year one, well, it starts to really take form and grow into year two. And that's exactly what Tariq Miller kind of goes in depth on here. It's not just being told what you're supposed to do, it's knowing why.
Last year we was kind of learning on the fly, so now we're our second year in the system. We know why we do this, how we do it, what's the reason behind it, so you move quicker, so your players quicker and faster.
Got to tell you, good to hear a little from Tariq Miller there, but I'm still kind of, you know, harping back to the discussion that we had with Deuce Wallace, former STM Cougar, a redshirt senior in the secondary. These guys sound like they have some more confidence that they're not just being thrown out there, right? They're not just randomly on the chessboard being told, okay, you got to go here. They're looking forward to going there. They know why they go there, and then they know what the next move on that proverbial chessboard is.
Exactly. You're seeing a lot of confidence from everybody around because year one, you saw that, oh, hey, like, we're actually doing a lot better with a lot of different things week by week. You started to see these things put together. Now that you know, you have a lot more faith in what the system has, what the process is, and also year two of learning everything. Because year one, learning a whole new offense again, in the case of a Robert Hunt or a Jared Jackson, you're dealing with another offense you've learned. That was like, what, the third offensive coordinator in 3 years. The defensive side of the ball, you're going to learn a whole different thing after a couple of years of consistency at that spot. You're going to learn a whole different playbook and understand all that. I think it's a huge step in the right direction to have that confidence in there after the season they had in 2018.
We had some Billy Napier sound for you yesterday. Today, a couple of players as well. We'll continue our coverage of Cajuns camp as we get deeper into August. Clint, I saw you having a bit of a fireside chat there. Did we add another to the B2BS Fantasy League?
We added another one, but this one is for the Under the Dome Fantasy League.
Oh!
He didn't care where he was.
Wow.
So I was like, okay.
Straight Costanza.
Hey.
Double dipping.
Not double dipping.
producing my show and just stacking chips for his own show.
Hey, it's kind of hard to be able to take calls on your show when you're also hosting the show and producing the show, so, you know, you got to get it while you can.
You are versatile.
My league's first, so.
In order.
Yeah.
You know, it's we know it's chronological age. Yeah.
Yes.
If you will. Yes. To say that it's first, let's not rank them. Yes. And that's not where you want to go. Yeah. What we need to do is go into a break. We'll be right back in. Time to throw some shade. Basically what we just did, but more of it. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you got more of us coming back on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Polished off the last segment, throwing a little shade, and we'll start this one doing the same. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. About 10 minutes from now, Billy Embody will join the program. A little bit of basketball, some football recruiting as well, and especially on the Raging Cajun side of things, can Napier and company continue their role from the class of 2019? Make sure you're ready when Billy Embody joins us again at 5:45. But right now, time to issue a daily reminder. It's a PSA to everyone locally in Acadiana. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to their website. You'll see patiocenter.com. They've got the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings that you're looking for, and those customizable patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that, well, they can do just about anything you want with them. So your vision, they'll create it for you, and they can get it done before the end of 2019. Imagine that, having the best patio game on the block as the Saints march toward the Super Bowl in February. That dream can become a reality. Go to their website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Clint, when your suggestions are good, they're good. Today, that's the case. Hit the people with it.
All right, here we go, and I think this is just really crazy. The NCAA, this is coming from John Rothstein of CBS Sports, that the NCAA has officially added criteria for agents who wish to represent student-athletes testing the waters for the NBA draft. Probably this is going to wind up coming into play for the 2020 NBA draft. Not necessarily as big of names as last year's, but still going to be some solid names nonetheless. But there's criteria now, and those three criteria are you got to have a bachelor's degree, certified with the National Basketball Players Association for at least 3 years, and the most important one, take an in-person exam in the NCAA offices in Indianapolis. And think about that, Ben. One person in particular I think this is all about, and it is Rich Paul, who never went to college.
Could easily be targeting Rich Paul. And I've seen where David Aldridge, who you've watched for years on TNT, he had a pretty good tweet about this. He said, man, y'all are some kind of scared about Rich Paul out there. Yeah, I think this one's targeted toward him. Out of the three criterion, the one in the middle is the one that I get the most, right?
Yeah.
You know, register with the NBAPA for at least 3 years. I get that. Although, as an unabashed fan of the show Ballers on HBO, how the hell is Dwayne The Rock Johnson supposed to just walk in and start wrecking shop if he has to have 3 years under his belt? Right?
Yeah.
Just saying. But the first and the third one seem to be geared toward Rich Paul and maybe others of a similar ilk. Have to have a bachelor's degree. All right, well, they're making you chase hoop dreams a little differently there, but the third one to me is the funniest. Bet you won't show up in person. In Indy, I bet you won't come show up, sit down, and take a standardized test to be able to represent your sister's cousin or your whatever, your brother's uncle, which I guess would also be your uncle. You know, I'm exploring the space here on the connections here to people that you're trying to scam into giving you their money. But the first and third one for me, I don't know if they're shade worthy, but they're definitely pointed toward keeping this maybe a little bit more of a good old boys club and maybe a little less of some of the new age Rich Paul stuff. So that's a good catch on your part.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Potential post-shade abounds, because obviously your brother's uncle is still your uncle. Yes. Unless somehow you live in Alabama and there's just a family dynamic that none of us can comprehend.
It's a one-limb family tree, Ben.
Wow. Haven't heard that one in a while. That's relevant to this conversation. But, yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And I don't know how much this helps clean up some of the stuff that a lot of accusations fly around about when it comes to AU basketball. But I think that right now there are enough problems that the NCAA is having with the kids that are coming into the turnstiles. They're just trying to regulate a little bit of when they're leaving the turnstiles. And it's been always a little confusing to me, right, that you could put your name in 1 year, take it back out, hokey-pokey style. That's exactly what we saw Skylar Mays do this year. I mean, we saw Javonte Smart, Marlon Taylor. I mean, every LSU player, Emmett Williams, basically not named Darius Days, did that this year. So I think they're trying to find ways to make that process maybe a little bit more streamlined. All right, we're going to take our final break of the hour. We already told you, Billy Embody coming your way in our next segment. And at straight up 6 o'clock, go Big Red. That's what the Twitter account says. Brent Endest, head football coach of the Catholic New Iberia Panthers, will be our guest. So stick and stay. More B2BS on the way. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll return soon on 103.7 The Game.
Whether he's sinking or swimming, Ben Love is just the guy to lead you in the right direction as you make your way back home from work. Now, back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let me tell you how you know you're good. When you're on Acadiana Sports Station not once but twice between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., you're pretty hot stuff. That's the exact case that we have going on right now. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in on 103.7 The Game. We'll waste no time. Out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Billy Embody, go247.com. Billy, it's great to have you on. I had no idea you'd be on with my good friend Jordy Holtberger. Maybe we'd have punted this to another day. You're a trooper for doing this.
Anytime, man. Got to help out Jordy when I can.
Well, look, you know, I appreciate you here, and LSU basketball appreciative that they've got a big and another body late in the process for this 2019-2020 season. What can you tell us about Deshaun Thomas from Florida Southwestern State?
Yeah, Deshaun is really an intriguing guy, I think. He's somebody that is 6'9", 235, so he's got a big body that LSU certainly needed in the front court with the departure of Cavell Bigby-Williams and Naz Reid, but more so for depth. They have Trendon Watford, the five-star signee in the class, and then they have Emmett Williams, Darius Days, and Cortese Cooper returning in the front court with Cooper coming off of his redshirt year. So they needed one more guy to have some depth to that position, I think, that they can really feel comfortable with going into the season. They were in on Nfale Dante, and they just, you know, I think this is a sign that, you know, you can pretty much say that he's not going to end up at Tiger, and he was a five-star big man. And so they go and get Deshaun Thomas, who they saw a ton this year because they signed and got Charles Manning, his junior college teammate, shooting guard. But Thomas is somebody that I think moves well for how big he is. I mean, he's 6'9", 235, so he's not necessarily a light guy. And he can run really well. He's really a guy that can come off the bench, give you 10-15 minutes, rebound the basketball, and block shots. I mean, he averaged, and he didn't play a ton this year for Florida Southwestern State. He was just really efficient. But he averaged a block and almost two blocks a game this year in 30 games. So that's impressive.
Give me a compare and contrast, maybe not the level of impact, Billy, but in terms of style of play to Cavell Bigby-Williams from last year.
You know, a lot of people have brought that up. I don't think he's got that length and that true seven-footer mentality. Or not mentality, but just that height in general, right? I mean, Cavell is – there's a reason why he keeps bouncing around in the NBA right now, you know, signing contract here and there to land potentially in the league this year. And it's because he's got that elite seven-footer size. Now, I think offensively, Deshaun is somebody who's going to be more – I think talented in true pick and roll settings and coming off of screens. He runs really hard to the basket. And I don't know necessarily if Cavell gave them as much as that last year. I think he was just kind of limited offensively. And I think Deshaun isn't necessarily going to come in and give you a ton of points and really wow you, but he's somebody that they really trust their eval on in terms of bringing him in. They saw him a ton, and so I think he's somebody that can come in and play 10-15 minutes a night.
I'm going to switch topics with a versatile guest, Billy Embody, go247.com. You were here in Lafayette. I never got a phone call, for what that's worth. But I know you came to talk to Billy Napier about Cajuns football recruiting. What did you learn? And are they going to be able to carry forward momentum from 2019 into 2020 and beyond?
Yeah, I picked up a little side hustle covering UL for us at 24/7 Sports. And it was just kind of a natural thing to take on as we spend so much time in Louisiana with LSU. But Coach Napier and his staff, look, have done a terrific job recruiting. I think that's, the thing that they can really hang their hat on, as they continue to build up the results on the field, is that they're recruiting at a really high level, and they're doing it in a way, and just walking around the facility that they have there, they're doing it in a way that is on, a small Power Five level, right? They're in the Sun Belt, but the amount of resources and the amount of, facilities and things that these guys have in place, it's really impressive. So, right now, they're number two in the Sun Belt with their 14 commitments. I think we could see that grow relatively soon. New Iberia Catholic athlete Trey Amos is set to announce here relatively soon. He's got offers from UL and Louisiana Monroe and South Alabama and Arkansas State and a few others, but he's really one of the most talented athletes, I think, in the state. I mean, back-to-back state champion in the long jump and plays quarterback for Catholic and has led them to a state title appearance this past year. So their class could very well grow to 15 soon. And Coach Napier said that was kind of a spot where, this class might not be as big as last year's class as their senior class and where kind of things stand in terms of how many they can sign will kind of be limited a little bit more this year.
How appropriate and interesting that you mention Trey Amos, Billy. In our next segment, we're going to have Brent Indest on the program. So you probably won't be able to tell too many of our listeners in the Barry about a kid they've been watching since he was knee-high. But what type of impact might that have on this Cajuns class, not just in the rankings, but based off the type of player he is?
I think when you look at what Billy Napier and his staff look for is athletes and then translating that to the next level. And that's something that we've studied a lot over the last couple of years at 24/7 is how are some of these under the radar kids, just blowing up in college. And you go back to athleticism and you talk about a 2-time state champion in the long jump and an 11.5 guy in the 100 meter. He's just got this ability to step on the football field and go do whatever you need him to do. Whether it's play corner and be one of the best corners in the state or go play quarterback and lead you to a state championship game appearance. So, he's somebody that certainly will bring even more awareness to the class if he were to jump on board. Just another quality athlete that staff has been on very, very hard and certainly someone that I think could take a little bit of time to adjust to the college level. But because of that athleticism, he's more likely than not going to succeed.
All right, Billy, let's flip it over to the Baton Rouge side of the basin. How much can Ed Ogeron and that staff afford to not full-on turn their sights to 2021? We get that they've got to nail down the guys that are currently in the boat. They've got to flip some others. They've got to convince some others. But they finally do have a commitment in the 2021 class. So how much of their attention can afford to go there once they get into the football season?
Yeah, I think you'll see it a lot from visitors. Really what we saw over that open period after the dead period with some of the top players in the country in the 2021 class stopping by LSU's new facilities to check them out, that'll translate into the football season. The great thing about what these facilities bring to the table now is they bring different areas where they can host recruits, whether it be in the nutrition center, whether it be, hey, let's stop by the locker room, whether it be do this or do that. It just gives them options, whereas last year, and as they went through the renovation, they were all just in Tiger Stadium, and it was just very limited. Now you can host these large groups of 2021 and 2022s and kind of jump ahead and show off these beautiful facilities and then say, hey, make sure you guys come on back this spring, Mr. Top 50 or Mr. Top 10 prospect. We want to get you on campus for an official visit. Well, they've already seen the impressive facilities that LSU has. It'll draw a lot of kids to campus, I think, this fall, and just from the region especially. And you'll see, you know, I think a national push like you saw in the 2020 class and are seeing in the 2020 class. But, you know, these facilities just get prospects on campus and get them kind of, you know, buzzing about the program more so, not more so, but just as much as, you know, on-field results or coaching hires or other great recruits going to campus. So, you know, overall for LSU, it's been a big success, and I think it'll help translate to the 2021 class.
Always really is a pleasure to catch up with Billy and Buddy. Go 247.com. You know, I was just kidding around about not getting that call. But I will promise you this. The next time you're here, and I'm sure you'll be here often, we're going to go eat some food, and we're going to eat very large, Billy.
Oh, well, I will have to say I was there for maybe an hour and a half, but Blue Dog Cafe next time?
That's an option. I got a few others in mind, and, yeah, we'll just go down the menu of everything Acadiana has to offer. I appreciate you doing this, man. Travel safe back over to Baton Rouge soon.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Billy Embody. And this guy truly is everywhere. He talked about a side hustle. I think he's got two or three of those, and it's pretty impressive stuff. He's had an affiliation with the Washington Redskins for years, dating back to even his time before he started covering LSU, the state of Louisiana recruiting. And if you'll recall, one of the last times we had Billy on, he gave some insight into what they, meaning the Washington Redskins, what they think and how they feel about Darius Geis. So I know he's been involved with the Redskins so far in this training camp period. He's covered LSU. He's been to Lafayette. That cat is everywhere. All right, CD. Two more entries into the B2BS Fantasy yep. League during that interview alone. And then somebody going full on Babe Ruth.
Yes, yeah, somebody going full on Babe Ruth, and that is our guy Darren. He's already calling us a shot. Slinging shingles will be winning the whole bleeping thing.
He went full on Jake Taylor from Major League there. Let's just win the whole bleeping thing. And so Slinging Shingles back in the league. How many spots are left? You know, I math pretty well, but I'm not looking at the screen.
I believe we're at three left. I know we're trying to lock in a couple other guys.
Wow.
And any overflow we get between now and, let's say, next Wednesday, whenever the Under the Dome League will be coming to me.
You know, I said that there was only one requirement. You have to be available to draft for Wednesday, August 28th in our league. Might add a second. We may require the heart and blood of winners. If you want to get Definitely. Into this league, that might become a prerequisite. We may request that. I may get fired for parroting that line on the program. I don't think I will, but I could. Just kind of flirting with disaster a little bit there. Molly Hatchet style. We are 2 hours down. We got 35 minutes to go. Brent Indes. Yeah, we'll talk about Trey Amos and his Panthers in 2019 when we return. And then I do want to dive a little into Major League Baseball. Who really won at the trade deadline? Here's a hint. The Astros with Zach Greinke, who's pitching tonight, certainly are in that conversation. And then we will send you to Houston. 6:35 Astro launch, 7:10 first pitch. Rockies at the Stros. Don't go anywhere. Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Take it off. It's hour number three. The final hour of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love, Clint Domingue taking you home on 103.7 The Game. Doing our best to bring you Brent Indes, head coach of the Catholic New Iberia Panthers, and with any luck, sooner than later, we'll be able to do just that. The high irony that we bring Billy Embody on the program, and Billy, when discussing Cajuns recruiting, reminds that Trey Amos is set to make his decision sooner than later. So, again, we're doing our best to bring you and patch through Brent Endest onto the program. Certainly want to ask about his star quarterback, the opportunity, whether he recruits to UL or anywhere else, that he might be one of the most decorated players ever to come out of that program. And we've actually heard from Coach Endest before, he thinks it's the best athlete he's had. And that's high praise, considering Jason Pellerin, who ended up at Ole Miss, was once part of that Panther program. Another thing we certainly will discuss, and I'm sure for him it's kind of a double-edged sword. They're playing up a good bit in the non-district slate and a whole lot of talent on the other side of the field. All right, CD, we're getting a little bit of a report in here. I'll let you share this with the listeners.
Yeah, Brent had just called in like as the intro was rolling, and he was telling me that he can't do the show today due to the fact that there was an accident on campus. Didn't give me like all the details
well,
to it.
We'll hope everybody's okay. So, yeah, so certainly tied up if something's going on in New Iberia. Coach, we got love for you. We respect you. Stay safe. Trust me, we'll talk soon, and we'll have an opportunity to preview the season. But since I was, you know, prepared to talk to him, let's at least discuss this part of things for the Catholic Panthers. The schedule, Clint. Vermilion Catholic in the opener. And I got to discuss that from the other side of the ledger. We got to talk with a couple of members, you know, the Eagles coaching staff, one of the senior players, play some tight end and linebacker for that squad. That's a hell of an opener. And you're looking at a VC team that at the single A level, I think is going to be about as good as there is. Certainly you could point to somebody in there, Southern Lab, and say, okay, there's still a bunch of competition. And I get that. But I like VC's chances of being at least a Final Four team at the 1A level. And as we discuss Catholic New Iberia, Panthers have participated in each of the last two Division III state title games, winning one, losing one. That is a dandy of an opener, and it's to be contested in the Berry, if Max Preps is to be believed. And Max Preps has made a liar of me before, so we're just going to roll the dice on that. But here's your non-district slate. VC at Bro Bridge, Barb. And then they've got a pretty lengthy district schedule. VC at Bro Bridge, Barb. Catholic is not ducking anybody. And if you look at what the Notre Dame Pios are doing this year, it's a lot of the same. Now, Louis Cook said he really detests having to play up the 4A, especially the 5A. But they've got some of the same stuff going on, and it's difficult to schedule. And when you're a juggernaut at that type of level, you could say the same thing about LCA. LCA's got freaking Evangel on the schedule this year. Like, you know, whoa. It's one thing when St. Thomas More has Neville on the schedule. All right, those are at least two 4A squads, but Evangel is coming down to play at LCA. So, you know, when you're at the single A, the double A type level, and you have a certain degree of success, I think there's just a lot of phone calls that go unanswered.
Exactly. There's a lot of phone calls that are just going on all the way around. I mean, you brought up the fact they opened up the season against Vermilion Catholic. I mean, that's a team that's always kind of been a power in that classification. So I think there's a lot of good things going on. And you brought up LCA. I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see kind of you just look how these non-conference slates work out for a program like a LCA, or you brought up another program. This is a little bit more towards Baton Rouge and Southern Lapp.
And for what it's worth, I wasn't able to make it, but I know that yesterday the Knights had their media day on campus, and from what I was told, Trev Falk not in attendance. Not suggesting that he should be, but they're going to have to move on from him. I know there's been an appeal filed, a lawsuit actually filed, and levied against the LHSAA by Lafayette Christian Academy, but I can't imagine that that changes what right now is just kind of the way it is, in fact. So no Trev Falk on the sideline for LCA. And so just interested in what we'll continue to witness, I think, with some of the scheduling that transpires with these smaller schools that have a ton of success. And yeah, we got a few of them in this Acadiana area. Just to rattle off a few, they all seem to be on the select side. Not exactly a shocker there, but LCA, Catholic New Iberia, and Notre Dame of Acadia Parish. So what I'll tell you is this. It was my plan to bring on, obviously, Coach Endest today. We'll run that back. You could trust in that. It's been about 5 weeks that I made the determination we're going to dive into the deep end with high school football. And so we'll continue to get our, our previews in as best we can. And this will have to do for a surrogate. When in doubt, break the glass and bring in Frank aboard the Hardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, about an hour and 50 minutes after the fact, wants to answer the sink or swim question. Let me refresh our listeners. Which NFL team is most likely to decline from last season? Hopefully that thing hasn't grown mold from when I asked it, Frank. But what you got for me?
Well, I apologize, Ben. I was stuffing to do so. But I don't like stealing cookies out of your cookie jar, but I think it's going to be the Saints and the Rams. The Saints, to me, they have a lot of problems, I guess you could say, on the defensive side. They were a defensive guru, I guess you could say, last year, but I don't believe in the Rams quarterback. I believe in the Saints quarterback, but it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, the Saints and the Rams, I'm with you, have different problems. But taking a step back is relative because they both won 13 games last year. So, I mean, if they both go 12-4, then technically you're right. But they'll still probably be teams that maybe have a bye, right, in the first round of the playoffs. I think what you're suggesting is that at least one of these teams is, what, maybe in danger of dropping to 9 or 10 wins in borderline playoff? Or don't let me read you wrong.
I hate to say it, but I think the Saints are going to be a 10-win team this year. When there's too much tape, there's too much tape, and we've already talked about this. When you see too much film, a lot of defenses can prepare, and now that Ingram's gone, you get much more preparation.
Yeah, the barrier from what you're saying and you being right or wrong is basically Latavius Murray. And I would maybe suggest Taysom Hill and how much they grow his role as kind of a running quarterback. So it's going to be a fascinating year. I think that those are interesting and understandable regression candidates, but I like both to make it to the playoffs still.
Yeah, so do I. This was too easy, Ben.
Easy money. I like that. Frank, just giving a little helper there. It's an assist. He detected the fact that we had about a 12-minute window to fill, and there was a lack of Brent Indes because my man is making sure that everything's safe over in New Iberia. So we appreciate Frank for that. To recap, Keith called in and said it's the Cowboys. They're taking a step back. They were 10-6 last year. He says they're worse. Clint said it's the Miami football Dolphins. Boy, that tree has a branch that gets to about 2 feet tall. That's how low-hanging that fruit is.
Exactly.
Dolphins were 7-9. They suck. We get it. Here's what's interesting to me. I gave you Kansas City and Baltimore, two teams that weren't on the list provided by Bill Barnwell of the Mothership. That's how we got on this topic. Barnwell gave 5. Rams and Saints, Cowboys, Chargers, and Dolphins. What's interesting, 40% of the grouping from Bill Barnwell, Chargers, and the Cowboys are currently practicing, Clint, without their
star running back.
Bingo.
And they might, in the case of the Chargers, they might not have their star running back on the roster at all because he apparently wants to be traded.
Well, he wants to be traded.
Yeah.
But from what I saw today, Zeke Elliott is saying he'll pull Le'Veon Bell.
He'll sit out.
If you don't pay this man his money, he will just big chill in Cabo. All right? So that's where we are in the modern era of football. And so with that dark cloud hanging over the Cowboys and the Chargers, yeah. I mean, both of their teams absolutely could take a step back this year. I think the Chargers are more regression proof from a simple fact that Phillip Rivers over Dak Prescott, and that's not even a conversation for me, right? There's no debate to be had there. Phillip Rivers had an outstanding 2019 season, so you know, I get the fact that their starting running backs are out, might hold out, might force a trade. Yeah, okay. But all things equal, I think the Cowboys could take a step back even if Zeke plays in every damn game. I don't know if I feel the same way about the Chargers. I think they're pretty bona fide, and they're in a pretty bona fide top-heavy AFC West, considering the Kansas City Chiefs are returning an awful lot, including the league MVP. Good conversation. And again, we'll try to bring back Brent Indes. What I was saying before Frank called, as memory serves, we've already had fun conversations over this summer with the head coaches at Karen Crow, Rain, Southside, Notre Dame of Acadia Parish. The list kind of goes on and on. We've had conversations with the head coach over at St. Martinville, Vermilion Catholic. I'm sure I'll miss a few. We've talked to the AD at Ascension Episcopal. Head coach over Dennis Gaines was with us, so Cecilia. Yeah, we've been doing our best to make the rounds and trust that we will continue to do that. And every time we have an interview on this program, we always store it for you on demand. So you can take Acadiana Sports Station with you on the go and listen when you want to, catch up when you want to. So any of those interviews that I just referenced, you're thinking to yourself, hey, I like that school. I follow that program. Well, good. Go to 1037thegame.com. Go to our on-demand section. There's a whole tab for bumper-to-bumper sports, so you can go find any of those interviews that you're looking for. Even some of the ones that we've conducted already today. Shay Dixon, a fall camp report right outside the Ponderosa. Dude was doing some sweating, he said. Not quite as much as yesterday. We had Billy Embody on at the end of the 5 o'clock hour to go in on LSU and UL recruiting. And we had a Q&A replay in the 4 o'clock hour with former LSU Tiger and wearer of number 18, Brandon Taylor. So, again, just remember the on-demand tab at 1037thegame.com. And for that matter, aboard our free mobile app are your friend. We're coming in, and when we return, we're talking Major League Baseball, getting you ready for the Stros hosting the Rockies. Stick with us. Ben and Clint coming right back at it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll return soon on 1037 The Game.
You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Still having fun and still bringing you home on your Tuesday. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. The famous Clint D. in tow. About this time yesterday, he was getting ready to blow. Yeah, we've been talking almost exclusively football today on this August the 6th. Yeah, we've been talking almost exclusively football today on this August the 6th. Yeah, we've been talking almost exclusively football today. Why the heck not? LSU camp, a lot of injuries yesterday. Cajuns camp, mum is still kind of the word, but it's great to get standout performers like a Zion Hill. Yeah, there's a reason we talked to Brent Endes. We connected some Panthers dots there. And obviously, we talked some Saints today as well. But I do want to get to the Houston Astros, and I want to talk Major League Baseball. This is one for me that kind of technically, it got bumped from yesterday's show rundown. I wanted to talk post-Major League Baseball deadline and maybe who some of the biggest winners were, what the biggest deals were, and really put into perspective for you how significant that the Zach Greinke deal is and will remain for the Houston Astros, who get Greinke for this year and next season as well. So let's go through it. And keep in mind here, as we have some fun talking Major League Baseball, I'm going to start with the most recent deal that got done right at the gun, you know, right at the deadline, and that is the Greinke deal. I'll start there, and I'll move backwards, kind of a little back in time, if you will. But let's start with Greinke. That combined with the Astros-Blue Jays trade completely changed the pitching rotation, and I mean starting. I also mean in relief for the Stros. And A.J. Hinch, suddenly, he's got a ton of options. With Greinke, he's got a bona fide bulldog, a righty who can take it as your ace, although he won't have to in this rotation. He'll slot in as the second or third, you would think, depending on where Garrett Cole fits in. And then you think about the fact that, I mean, last October, look at what Wade Miley did for the Brewers. He was spectacular in the postseason. Brew Crew darn near made a run to the pennant and to the World Series. So my point to you is that four up front, it's going to be all the Stros need this season. But the Blue Jays deal, it wasn't insignificant. And already it's paid some dividends, at least with a splash move, right? Right-handed starter Aaron Sanchez, righty reliever Joe Biagini, were two of the four that combined for the no-hitter on Saturday against the Mariners. I think there's a better-than-average chance that both, frankly, are in the bullpen come playoff time. Depending on, I guess, some returns from injury, it might even be that Sanchez and Biagini are both in the bullpen right away. But at least for now, and moving forward momentarily, Aaron Sanchez, who started and went six innings for the combined no-hitter, will be the fifth member of the Astros' rotation. So strong moves everywhere, fortifying the arms race for the Astros. And Jeff Luhnow gets an absolute A+. Let's move on to some of the other highlights from the MLB deadline. This one form again, what you can expect to see for the contenders down the stretch. The Brewers added left-handed pitcher Drew Pomeranz, and they got him from the Giants. The most important thing here, Giants decided to keep Mad Bum in their deck of cards. They didn't deal him, but they were willing to get rid of Drew Pomeranz. It signals that the Brewers are still trying to make another run and that the Giants aren't done either. I'll get back to them in a few moments. Now let's stay over in the NL West. Mike Leake heading from the Mariners to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yes, they got a right-handed pitcher, did the Diamondbacks, but no, this is not even close to a Zach Greinke replacement. So the righty they lost, obviously, a whole lot better. Just something worth noting. That's the way they attempted to backfill. And the Mariners, oh yeah, there's some kind of terrible they're willing to accommodate. All right, let's stay in the National League. The Padres get right-handed reliever Carl Edwards Jr. from the Cubs. What does this one mean? It means the Cubs are moving on from someone who just never quite took over that closer role. We know that the Cubs have gone out and, well, they got a guy who's currently a little bit on the shelf, obviously in Craig Kimbrell, but they've got some other end-line relievers who are pretty spectacular. Finally, Carl Edwards became expendable. We'll go now to the Dodgers. They added infielder Jed Giorko. I should get that right. He played for my Cardinals, and I know who the hell he is. What does this one mean? The Dodgers add insurance? Sure. Both of these teams are still contenders in the NL, just to different degrees. That's why I think this one's more about the Dodgers landing Greinke. And I'm going to tell you that this is the Dodgers getting their postseason version of what Marwin Gonzalez has been in the last couple of years before this one for the Houston Astros. Tampa traded for a potentially big bat, Jesus Aguilar from the Brewers. I'll tell you that Aguilar has fallen off a cliff in this 2019 season, and they've gotten their power, the Brew Crew has, from a lot of different angles. The Phillies added a quality bat in outfielder Corey Dickerson, and this Phillies team, my note I made here, feels like they've been adding bodies since December. Seriously, think about everybody that's come over. The big splash is Bryce Harper. They brought over a catcher who spent so much time with the Marlins and JT Realmuto. They went out and got Andrew McCutchen, who we know is on the shelf now. They just keep adding and adding. And now Corey Dickerson coming over from the Pirates. Let's keep it moving. Other big deals that'll inform the end of this Major League Baseball season. The Nats got right-handed reliever Hunter Strickland, lefty reliever Roenis Elias, both from the Mariners. This means that finally the Nats are giving some help to Sean Doolittle as a team that's been awfully hot. To end the month of July. Looks to continue that into August. We know that the Astros gave up Martin Maldonado. They gave up to the Cubs Tony Kemp, and this means goodbye Tony Kemp. He's next in line after the Dodgers got Tyler White. So a couple of homegrown Astros are gone. Scooter Gennett heading to the Bay to play for the Giants. Hey, he's hot and cold. The Reds got rid of him, but those Giants, they're not folding tent just yet. The Cubs got outfielder Nicholas Castellanos. That's a good ad late from the Detroit Tigers. Finally, something that I witnessed firsthand over the weekend, the Braves boosted their bullpen. They got righty reliever Shane Green, who had been closing for the Detroit Baseball Tigers. And part two of their bullpen boost, Mark Melancon came over from the San Francisco Giants. And I watched those two combine to blow a game late on Saturday for the Braves. But wouldn't you know it, Ronald Acuna Jr. and the bats for Atlanta ended up picking them up. So consider everything I just said, and even go back and think about the Reds getting Trevor Bauer, the Indians getting Yasiel Puig, and that whole deal. Even when you consider that, there's no doubt in my mind the Greinke deal comes out as the biggest deal from this past MLB trade deadline. All right, we got Astros baseball coming up. Greinke will take the mound against the Rockies in about 35 minutes. On the other side of this break, we get you a step closer to Astro Launch. It's been a blast today. Shay Dixon, Billy Embody, Brent Endest. We'll put a bow on the show next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.